The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast, a listener experience episode. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Thursday. We are here with another listener experience to help get you through that final push of the work week, which we all don't like.
At all, ever.
Ever. That's been well established. So, before we get into today's listener experience, we're going to get through the housekeeping, get through the business. So check us out at all social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Be part of the Hollow Cult. Come join the community. It's a great place to be. If you have a listener experience you'd like to share on a future Thursday show, Kyle's got some info you're going to want to know.
I do. That information is going to be that you're going to have to write your story out. Preferably in the most detail that you can. Shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also record yourself and send that to the same email, and we can use that sound clip on the show for everybody to listen to, and then we can talk about it. However you want to do it, it's not a big deal. As long as you get your story to us, that's the important part. You can also call or text the holophone, which is going to be 618-556-0837. And then if you want to send us any weird stuff or cool stuff, you can do that too. And that's going to be Hollow Sky Podcast, P.O. Box 145, Fieldon, Illinois, 62031.
The more cursed, the better.
Agreed.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways to do it. We have a Patreon, but don't go over there and sign up just yet. The tiers are changing. We're going to be shutting down the old tiers, putting a singular tier for everybody to get on, probably $7 tier, get you all the extra shows, ad-free shows, that stuff. So hold that thought until we get it set up. Probably go live April 1st. Also, we have a Hollow Sky shop. Go to hollowskypodcast.com. Go over and check some merch. See anything you want. Pick it up. You know the drill. We have a Venmo if you'd like to throw some change in our Bad Habit Fund. We appreciate it. Best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. We are constantly struggling to fall on more ears. The more that the Hollow Cult helps out and kind of pushes the show, shares it on socials, shares it word of mouth, the better it is. You guys are really the grassroots that help this show grow. Don't ever forget that. We appreciate the work you put in. We appreciate the work, the future work that you do. Sharing this thing. That being said, we're going to jump right into today's listener experience. It comes to us from our friend from the Discord, Rabanta. I titled this Strange Kids and Dementors. Rabanta says, "Hey guys, I've had loads of experience but thought I'd send you a couple. I don't care if you use them on the show, thought they may interest you nonetheless. Experience one. Years ago, when I was younger and living with my Nana, I used to sneak out my window late at night and walk up the road to have a smoke, to hide it. Not that she wouldn't have been able to smell it on me, teenage stupidity. Anyway, this one particular night, it was around 2 a.m., I decided to walk to the corner of the road where it kind of forks into other streets. There's one lone streetlight in this area. I lit my cigarette and then all of a sudden I could feel someone walking up behind me from the road behind me. And by the way this road leads, it goes to one of the graveyards in the area. Creepy. I almost froze. Something in my head told me not to look back or acknowledge whoever it is. So I just acted normally, took a puff of my smoke, and then I noticed a girl walk past me. She would have been younger than me, but not quite a little girl. As she walked by me, I kept thinking I didn't want her to notice me. She walked past about 50 meters, and I felt a sigh of relief until the girl turned around, looked me dead in my eyes, and started walking directly back towards me, while continuing to stare at me directly in my eyes. Immediately, my heart dropped, and I had a feeling of utter dread. When she reached me, she spoke. "What are you doing?" I replied, having a cigarette, meanwhile thinking, "What the fuck?" She replied, "I've just moved here with my family and I'm checking out the place. I just live on that road. Would you like to come to my house?" I said, "No thanks, I have to be home." She was very insistent on me coming to her house. When I made sure she knew that I was not going, she said if I ever changed my mind to come over. I watched her then walk off and just disappear around the corner of the road. The next day, I talked to my younger sister, and she had a similar experience, but instead it was a little boy who told her that he was lost and wanted her help to get him home, saying he lived on the same street that the girl had mentioned. Then I realized that both situations mentioned the street name but never said where they lived, and me and my sister theorized that what if this is the same entity posing as something that we may perceive as innocent, trying to lure us to a certain location. So we made a deal that we would never go to any house on that street. To this day, neither of us have. Let's break down this first experience, because there are a couple here. First off, definitely creepy. My mind that has the least faith in humanity goes to a really terrible place where it almost seems like if it's not paranormal in... If it's not a paranormal thing going on, it's almost like it feels like someone is using these kids to lure other kids to the house.
Yeah, and that's no bueno. Extra, extra bad.
Yeah, that's what my true crime brain goes to. Especially since it's two different kids. You know, used as bait almost.
Definitely fits that MO without question, and it's terrifying to think about, but those things do happen.
Yeah, and the thing that's off is like the demeanor. I don't know what the demeanor of the little boy was, because she didn't really go into the sister's experience that much, other than he was just saying that he was lost. But the girl's demeanor is weird. It's weird that she walked past, almost like checking out the area to make sure that the experiencer was by herself.
Yeah.
And then she came back. I don't know. Sus.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I don't know, man. Like, unless there's other clues that make you feel like this was an entity. You know what I mean? Like, was there something that we're missing, like, context-wise? But yeah, if not, I kind of feel like Steve's probably on to something. Like I said, I'm not there in those shoes, so I don't know how it felt. I don't know. Because it's at the end of the day, it's extremely bizarre that two separate people, entities, whatever, have the exact same story, essentially. They're trying to get you to go to a house on that street.
Yeah. It gave me just reading it gave me the weird vibe of like your trick or treat experience. Yeah. Like where there's somebody that's not supposed to be there, kind of keeping an eye on things, watching when people get by themselves. It just feels off to me. But you brought up a good point. Maybe there's something else that happened in the experience that led her to believe that it was a paranormal entity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because by description, I'm not 100% sold that it's paranormal. Terrifying, no matter what, which angle that is.
Sus.
Yeah. But maybe there was something else that triggered that feeling for you. You know, we don't know what it would be. I'm sure the setting alone, like the time being night and all that stuff, definitely makes it creepy.
Yeah. If you hear this, I know that some of these are from way back when. I just went through our whole email, made a folder and threw them in. If you're listening, hit us back up and let us know if there was anything that went on that made you lean more toward paranormal as opposed to like just odd human interaction.
Yeah, and to reiterate, just like with the Halloween stuff, I mean, be aware of your surroundings. You guys did the right thing by both agreeing never to go to a house on that street, regardless if it's a person or an entity drawing you to that house, because more than likely, it feels like nefarious actions there.
Yeah, I'm curious if there's any history to the houses on that street since then or prior to that. If there was any like weird criminal activity or weird paranormal activity for that matter, that could lead us in one direction or the other.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to be like, and there was no street by the street name, like the street didn't exist. Graveyard. Yeah, like it didn't exist. That's what I was legitimately waiting for. Like, oh shit, this is not good.
It just felt like when you read those awful stories about predators using children to bait other children, because children trust kids more than they trust some weird adult, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I can't applaud you enough for having the wherewithal of being like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't, because you were by yourself, so you didn't have any outside influence to be like, no, we're definitely not going there. We're going home, you know, because a lot of people will get sucked into that. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, let's
especially if it's a little kid, like the other encounter, if it's a little kid being like, hey, I'm lost, can you help me find my home?
Yeah.
Lots of people would be like, sure, let's go. You know,
that's actually a really good point. So I wonder. There has to be something, some type of missing context.
It's weird.
Because like that is a really, like it would be hard for me to be like, no, I'm not taking you home.
Yeah.
No way. You know, and I don't know how old they were at the time, you know. Maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe they were out past curfew and they're like, well, no, I'm not gonna risk getting in trouble. I don't know. There's a lot of components that could be missing to the story. And either way, I think nail on the head, man. I think that it was just a nefarious act, paranormal or not. I don't feel like the end result would have been good if you would have went to that house.
Yep. And I'm a firm believer that human monsters are well worse than any paranormal monsters out there.
Dude, I hate to even think that something like that is so close to you as a person. Like it's terrifying to think about, like, cause you always view those incidents as that happens over there. I'm over here. It's terrible, but you always have that barrier in your brain where you're like, it's not going to happen.
Can't happen to me. Yep.
You know? And then you sometimes like this, man. And there's other cases too that I've heard from people where they experienced it, they got away fine, but there was key details in their story where you look back and you're like, did you seriously not know what they were trying to do to you?
Yep.
Like that is 101 abduction or those types of situations where you're like, holy, like you just dodged a huge bullet and you didn't even realize it.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying world. And has nothing
that goes for men, women, children, all of the above. Like, it is definitely worth being a little bit vigilant out there. And you know what? It's not even a bad thing to be a little bit paranoid.
Yep. Trust your gut.
Yeah. 100%. Because
that's exactly what Raponte did. She trusted her gut. Said, hey, yeah, you know, that sounds like a horrible idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to my house.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, like, I know people want to poke fun at paranoid people a lot. But at the end of the day, where would you rather be? You know, would you rather be a little bit asinine, a little bit paranoid, being like, no, I'm not walking through that alley to save myself 5 minutes. I'm going to walk the long way around because that alley is sketchy as hell. I'm getting a bad vibe. I'm going to go the long way.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
That's what I'm saying, man. There's nothing wrong with taking a couple extra steps just to make sure you're safe or your kids or anything like that.
Heard that.
And like you said, in today's world, dude, it's like anything is possible, and that's what's terrifying.
Yeah. All right, moving out of that dark spot, we're going to dive into the second experience here. They say another notable event occurred when I was around age of 17 or 18, and this one terrifies me to think about to this day. I caught the last bus home, which arrived in at midnight. I always hated walking up the hill at nighttime alone. Anyway, I started walking up our hill and every street light that I got to went out. I am not joking. It was about 5 or 6 lights in a row. As soon as I got to them, they would go out. I had this thought, I don't know why, that it was some kind of warning that something was around the corner. I turned the corner on this particular road. The sidewalk is almost a raised footbridge above the road. So in a sense, you're looking down on the road below while you're walking on the sidewalk. To get home, I would then turn left at the end of the footbridge onto my street. But you can also turn right as the intersection of that street is a T intersection. The house on the corner of the end of the footbridge is creepy and is rumored that people used it to host seances there generations ago. Anyway, as I turned the corner and started walking up the sidewalk, what I saw terrified me more than anything I've ever experienced to this date. At the T intersection up ahead were 7 giant entities, all in a circle facing each other under the lone streetlight. I can't remember if the light was on or off. Well, I say facing, but I couldn't see their faces because they were faceless, just really dark, and they were all floating above the sidewalk and looked almost like empty cloaks, but with skeletal structures to them. They were extremely tall. I got the sense that they were performing some sort of ritual or something, and that I was not meant to see them. My intuition told me to pretend that I didn't see them. I put my head down and kept walking normally, but I had such a sense of dread and got incredibly cold. As I continued walking in their direction, I could still see them out the corner of my eye. I grabbed my phone and rang my friend, whose house I had just left prior to catching the bus. We had a normal conversation. I was doing anything I could to make it known that I had not seen them. When I got to the corner, I turned left and carried on up the hill to my house, being sure not ever to look back. I arrived home and opened the door. As soon as it locked behind me, I told my friend what I just saw. She was like, I thought this phone call was strange. She was like, you were being so weird asking random mundane questions. Anyway, it took me years to get over it. I hated going outside alone for smokes at night. I'd always make someone come with me. Anyway, a few years later, maybe mid to late 20s, I'd almost forgotten about the incident. Well, I'd pushed it to the back of my mind and was fine being outside at night again. The only person I'd ever told was my friend on the phone at that time. Anyway, my brother was seeing this girl and her whole family was very spiritual. She used to experience lots of things. He came to pick up a movie from my house one night and he parked facing down the hill. She sat in the car while he left it running and ran inside. He then gets multiple text messages all in quick succession, and then a phone call telling him he needs to hurry up and come back outside quick and that they have to go. I was like, what's going on? He was like, not sure, but I got to get out of here. He left and they drove away. He then messaged me and he said, apparently there's some really fucked up shit outside your house, so we had to leave. After texting back and forth, they eventually came back and told me to come outside so they could tell me properly. She said when he ran inside, all of a sudden she had a sense of dread and shit got really cold. She said then saw these giant cloaked beings spread out in a line across the road further down, facing up the hill. and floating up the road in a horizontal line toward the car. She said when they reached the Jeep, they had all just stopped and were just standing, well, hovering in their positions across the road, but they were no longer moving. She said she knew she was not meant to acknowledge them or even let on that she had seen them. So she got on her phone and started telling my brother to hurry up. When he came out and got in the car, she had her head down, but could still see them out the corner of her eye. She said, "You cannot see them." He said, "See what?" Or she said, "Can you not see them?" And he said, "See what?" There was a black cat in the middle of the road, and she either said, "It's not a fucking cat," or "It's not the fucking cat." I can't remember her exact words, so unsure if there was a cat there as well, or if that's just what he saw. Then she began to describe them to me, and she said the only way I can describe them, and at the same time, we both said, "The Dementors from Harry Potter." My brother then asked how I knew that, and if I'd seen them. I explained that I had, but they were in a circle further down the road, not outside my house. She was like, "That is the most evil I have ever came across." She said she couldn't even describe it. She started telling us about terrifying experiences she had, and how none of them even compared to encountering what these beings were. She said that they can legit make you disappear. I asked how and what she meant. She said, "I don't know whether it's mentally or physically, but if they notice you acknowledging them, that's when you're gone." I asked if she knew what they were, and she said she didn't know if they were interdimensional beings or what, but she said they weren't demons or anything even remotely like that. She ended up asking her dad, and he said, "I know of these things, but have only heard and not seen them. But I also know what they are, and I don't want to know, as knowing means death." Whew. After that, I was terrified of them again and reverted back to being scared to go outside alone at night. I did tell a few more people after that, because her experience kind of validated mine. It still gives me goosebumps thinking about it to this day. Anyways, thanks guys for giving us a platform to share our experiences and connect with like-minded people. Love the show and stay weird. Well, Rabanta, thanks so much for sending this in. Back to whatever these beings are. My first question is going to be, where is this in geographical location to where you encountered the little kids? Because
valid question.
Yes. If these things are, I don't know, man, if these things are trying to get people, they could use that. They could essentially take the form of those. You would think if these are super powerful beings, take the form of these things and try to get people to come to them and then essentially disappear.
Well, it could also be there because of the seances and all that stuff. There was a plethora of things there that were not good.
I mean, it could have been whoever was fucking with it could have opened some sort of portal.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like they say that's what Crowley did.
Absolutely. Do they remind me like of the Watcher from X.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I wish like I want to know people like her dad that are like, "I know what they are."
But yeah, we ain't talking about it.
And I'd be like, "Well, we need to talk about it because we need to know what they are."
And the fact that they presented themselves twice to the same, like, essentially the same family. I know it was the brother's girlfriend, but it's directly tied to the brother, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's weird. Was it the girl's dad that said that?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, she ended up asking her dad. Yeah, that definitely makes me wonder what that dude knows.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, because that alone alludes to so much.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, not that I want to throw this smoke out there. Did he partake in the seances back in the day?
Ooh. Very. Because
that would give firsthand knowledge of what they are.
Very interesting. Uh-huh. Didn't think about that.
And like I said, not trying to throw smoke his way, but or did he know somebody who participated and that's how he got the information? There's a lot of alluding things.
Yeah. What did he say?
Him making those statements. I know what they are, and I wish I didn't, because knowing what they are means death.
Yeah. I know of these things, but only heard of them, have not seen them. Also, I don't know what they are, and I don't want to know, as knowing means death.
Oh, I thought it said, I know what they are. I don't want to know.
No, I went back and reread it. I also don't know what they are.
It still alludes to, like,
he knows of them, but he doesn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah. And they definitely don't sound friendly, and they sound menacing as all hell. The fact that they just randomly make people disappear, and then not to mention, what the fuck was with you that day that gave you the impression all I need to do is not acknowledge them?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Most people would have freaked out.
Yeah. Me and Kyle
would have freaked out.
Would have tried to record them on our phones.
Well, yeah, if we weren't running away, that's what we'd probably do.
That's true. That is true.
It would be just a ridiculously terrifying moment. It gives me goosebumps thinking about us being there in that situation.
Yeah. It almost feels like they were doing a seance themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Weird.
Yeah. I highly doubt it was just a little fucking Saturday night hangout underneath the streetlight.
Well, what if that... Okay, hear me out. What if that is where all these missing people go? Beings from alternate dimensions host seances and humans get pulled in.
I can see it. But I could also... I thought you were going to go a different route here. I thought you were going to go... What if those beings doing the seance were the original people that did the seance to begin with?
Mm.
They made some type of agreement, pact, whatever, that let them, we will say, I think transcend would be a better word than ascend. Something like that. Because obviously it's definitely not ascension, but in their eyes it probably was, if that's the case. I don't know. It definitely, I don't know, like,
because she said
the way you describe it is so much, it's like there's so much intent there behind the situation.
Yeah, and I mean, she said they legit make you disappear.
Right.
Hosting these seances and... Dude, I don't even know.
I've never heard anything like this.
It's creepy.
It's definitely creepy.
We need follow up. First off,
I absolutely agree. And like I said, I really will, like, I know it sounds nuts, but I really want to know people and have conversations with people that, like, like even the dad saying, I've heard of them before. I haven't heard of them. What are they?
Yeah, we need to hear of them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know there are people out there that have this type of information that think they're crazy, or they tell you something and you're like, this motherfucker's nuts.
And what is
it? I want those conversations.
What is it about these super hot paranormal spots that these same beings are being seen at, right? Because, I mean, I don't know that that's a super hot paranormal spot, but she said they did seances, weird shit was going on. If it's anywhere close to where the little creepy friggin' paranormal kidnapping bait kids were,
right?
That's paranormal hot spot.
That's definitely a solid question, too, linking those two together, if it's in the same area. Because if it is, okay. That I retract my true crime assessment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm definitely banking on paranormal at that point.
Same. It's paranormal kidnapping if they make you disappear.
Yeah. I don't know. Man. Which that opens a whole new.
Yeah. Like, what even are these beings? What tier, what echelon are these beings on?
Well, and it, like I said, eerily reminiscent of the description of the Watcher.
Yeah, which is at X, which is supposedly has a portal.
Right.
Not a good portal.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, exactly. Like, and I, not to, it gives me goosebumps, but not to also further connect with what we know. But you also remember Ghost Hunter Dave telling you what else he heard out there.
Oh, yeah. Kids.
Little kids.
The cop heard him when they stopped him.
Yeah, that's what I, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's kind of a weird connection there. You've got the little kids in the beginning, and the, if it, it, assuming this is in the same spot and everything, we don't have that intel quite yet. But it is weird. It's definitely bizarre. It would make me extremely uncomfortable, and I would probably be like you. After witnessing something like that, it would make me very uncomfortable for quite some time.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
The more that I hear about these beings and entities, they're almost like Reaper-like entities.
Yeah.
The more,
which is never like, a good sign.
No.
Never a good
sign. Where are they? Like, what do they stand for? What are they here for?
I don't know. And then it gave you Odd Thomas vibes.
Oh, yeah. Like precursor once you acknowledge to disaster.
Them, yeah. And once you acknowledge them, then they re-acknowledge you. Yeah. And they take you out. Very, very interesting, man. Like I said, I don't really hear, we haven't really heard a story like this before.
No.
And it would definitely terrify me for a long time, I feel like. But kudos, once again, kudos to you and your friends. The fact that you made that phone call and they just
smart.
Went along with it.
That was, you know, smart.
Yeah. Very, very interesting and very, like, it just shows that, you know, that person was probably a pretty solid friend to be able to read that situation and be like, okay, we're going to see where this goes.
Yeah. Even, especially knowing something's off.
Yeah. Yep. I want to know what made you think, what made you feel like all I have to do is just not acknowledge them, act like everything's normal. Cause do you know, like, think about how hard that would be in that situation.
Oh yeah.
I would keep your shit together.
I'd fail immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, they would hear me say, "What the fuck?" And they would seven of them would look at me and like, "Time to disappear, bro."
Yeah.
And that would be it. I would be sucked through a seance portal into another dimension.
Probably. I'd almost bet the same amount of money.
Would not be able to keep my shit together. Mm-mm. Those would be my last words in this ethereal plane. What the fuck?
Yeah. And then it'd just be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that would go.
And then I would acknowledge your disappearance, and then I'd probably get sucked into it too.
Yeah, yeah. Then we'd be doing
be gone
shows in a different dimension.
I don't know. I don't have high hopes in whatever dimension they're from. Put it that way.
Doing it via Ouija board.
Yeah.
Back to Earth. Back to this plane.
So it'd be like a. It'd be like a fucking transcript. You just get letters at a time. You got to write it down. And
yeah, that's a great idea. We should do that.
I'm not trying to disappear.
No, not with them. Not with the seven watchers or any watchers. But we should script a podcast using the Ouija board.
That sounds money. Like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Oh, so basically just send our podcast out into the ether.
No, let the ether write our podcast.
That's not a bad idea. I think both ways is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be really time consuming to sit there and spell out our entire podcast on a Ouija board.
Only
somebody out there might appreciate it, though.
Only 3,000 more words.
Right.
Because, I mean, you got people that use AI to write their shows. That's what's true. The difference in using paranormal?
That's true.
But that's a show for a later date. thanks so much, our friend Rabanta, for taking the time to send that in. If you hear this, be sure to shoot us an email with some follow-up.
Please.
We've put the questions out there.
Yeah.
Hope the rest of your week goes good, Holocult. Check us out at all our social medias. You know the drill. And until we meet again, stay safe. Stay weird. Like we said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that there aren't 7 giant cloaked entities performing a seance trying to suck you into another dimension.